and the glorious musical stylings of Scott K bring in yet another edition of Ghostly Talk. Welcome, everybody. It's October. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And, of course, Will's manning the boards and making sure that all my little green lights are lighting up when I talk, I hope. And and this is Ghostly Talk. This is Ghost Month.
Yeah.
Ghost
this is
Month.
The beginning of Ghost Month.
The beginning of Ghost Month, and we've got a very, very, very cool show for you today. We get to talk with the Indiana Ghost Trackers, mm-hmm. which is actually really amazing. Sean's going to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's on vacation in Florida, so he's going to be working by the...
some vacation it is.
Yeah,
the hurricane guest.
Yeah, the hurricane guest again. But he's on vacation, but he's going to call in via the magic of cell phones.
Hopefully it works.
Yeah, this will be kind of interesting.
We'll see the actual tower that's going to work that cell phone compliant by our house any minute now.
You know, I was going to say, you know it's October when the heat's on.
When the heat is on, we turned it on.
Today
was the first official day at my condo where the heat came on today.
Today is the first
day. That was a freezing.
In the haunted basement, today's the first day of heat.
I feel bad now because I totally slapped my mom's hand when she went to turn it on. Not yet.
Oh, man. I froze last night.
So it's official.
In the haunted bedroom.
It's official. Yesterday was cold. I came out of the house yesterday around here in Michigan. It was cold yesterday.
It was.
Today's a little bit better, but it just felt like the right time to kick the dust out of that thing and see if it's actually going to work.
Oh, horrible when you first turn it on.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it just spit out like...
So, yeah, that's always wonderful.
Okay, winter's here.
And then your science will flare up the next day.
This is
always.
So this is, of course, the heaters, furnaces are being turned on all across Michigan as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the very exciting month. This month, because, you know, not only is it, you know, transitioning from summer into fall and then fall into winter kind of thing, you know, transition of weather patterns, but also the premiere of Proof Positive followed by the premiere of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi this Wednesday.
Yep, we're having a little party over here.
You guys are all coming over, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming
I'm
over.
Tired. What's going on?
We're going to watch Ghost Hunters and...
is it a big party?
It's a huge party.
Yeah. We're rolling the kegs in.
Yep.
Bring your own ghost.
BYOG.
And, bring your own gat.
We're going to watch... It's from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yes.
First, we'll watch Proof Positive. And I don't know if this particular episode... Sean will be able to tell us more if this initial episode is the one where IGT filmed with them, but but Proof Positive, you know, is going to be on from 8 till 9. And then, of course, what absolutely everybody on the internet is talking about, Ghost Hunter.
Yeah.
Ghost Hunters with the folks from TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society.
Wonderful
that's
gentlemen.
Coming on. Yes, that's coming on at 9 Eastern and Pacific.
And Pacific?
I looked it up, and I didn't thoroughly understand it, but evidently...
They sunk them together.
What they do is, it's on 9 Eastern or 8 Central, right? So that's normal. They don't say anything about Mountain Time. So the folks in the mountain regions or whatever, because there's what? Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific in the 48 contiguous states.
Sci-fi.
I do right now.
They just don't get sci-fi.
They have their own sci-fi.
They have their own, yeah.
Hello, you've reached the sci-fi channel. Today we're going to duct tape a...
Oh, no. Didn't we do this last week?
No,
man.
I'm sorry. I have no problem with
Mountain. Mountain is just not even mentioned, but Pacific is mentioned, and it looks like what they'll do is they'll play that also at, 8 and 9, So it looks like Californians, they get a chance to get home from work and, have a meal and put the kids to bed and then watch Proof Positive and Ghost Hunters as well, rather than, wondering if their TiVo is recording it, because they would be at work, because, 8, 7, 6, 5, it would be 5 o'clock, they'd be in rush hour traffic.
Yeah. I want to pimp something today, too.
Okay, pimp away.
You know for a fact that I rarely ever pimp a show for my band on Ghostly Talk.
Oh, yeah?
But I'm going to pimp this show.
Okay.
Because we're having a Halloween party.
Ooh.
And what I want to do, actually, I forgot to talk to you guys about it when I got here. But what I want to do is I want to get Ghostly Talk involved with it, too. I want to have Ghostly Talk come down to the show that night. It's going to be for the local people, and if you're really dedicated, you can come all the way out from wherever in the country and come see us, too. But it's going to be the 30th of this month, Devil's Night, basically.
Mm-mm.
What?
That Kelly McLeod.
Yeah.
has a gig that night going on.
Does she?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Till when?
Well, I imagine it's all night. It's a Halloween party.
Oh, really?
At the Haunted Art Gallery in Detroit.
Well, I can make it down there.
Yeah.
Well, the rough plan right now is what we're going to do is we're going to have this big old party. It's going to be at Pub 1281, Mount Clemens.
Oh, okay.
Just that little bar. It's also going to be like a Halloween slash Bonnie's birthday.
Yeah.
Slash Erica L's birthday, 21st birthday party.
Oh wow! Oh,
yeah. I think I heard about this.
Yeah.
Oh wow!
So it's going to be a very ugly night. But it's going to, I mean, I'm going to get the plans together.
Night.
It's going to be a very ugly night. Yeah, to try to keep her under control.
Yeah, put the flyer up on ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah, so it's going to be something to throw out there because, it's going to be my sister's birthday party, and we got a big surprise lined up for her. She's probably listening, so.
Cancer?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't
You'll
think
have
so.
To hire
I can't afford I can't afford dancers.
But the... And Bonnie is going to go.
Well, that's the plan, but I didn't know Kelly had a gig going on, too.
Yeah, Kelly's got some kind of thing going on. Down at the Haunted Art Gallery.
In Detroit?
Yeah.
On Devil's Night?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But it's very, very... I'm sorry.
Angel's Night?
It's got, yeah. It's got well-lit, secure garden. Well-lit, secure guarded parking. It's right off of I-94.
Yeah, it's well-lit by fire. It's what... I'm sorry.
That was funny, Scott.
That was bad. I'm gonna...
For those of you who aren't aware of it, we may as well describe it now. There is this tradition, and it doesn't happen all throughout the United States or the world either, but there is a tradition around here anyway where the night before Halloween is called Devil's Night, and Devil's Night is usually a time when you would go out and you would
burn things down.
Things, break things.
Oh, we're talking outside of Detroit.
Right. Okay. And around here, what you would do...
Well, in the suburbs, you sit on top of your house with a shotgun.
Right. No, you would... if you're a ruffian, you would run around with, like, rotten eggs...
And
toilet paper. And tomatoes, mushy tomatoes and stuff like that from the bottom of the basket. And you would throw them at people's, you know, property and houses and stuff. And you would, you know, do the diaper thing on people's, you know, flaming diapers on people's porches, that kind of thing. So, of course, there was that's the ruffian crowd, and then the other crowd, you know,
what about the flaming bag of dog poop, though? That was it.
Well, I call it diaper, but
I think it
could
paintballs now.
Oh, God.
Oh, now they do paintballs?
Those things hurt. No,
they
can cause damage, too. That's not cool. Tomatoes are one thing. You can just rinse that right off with a hose.
I mean, if you do at your house, like, you know, point at your house, I mean...
What if you're coming out to get the paper?
Or you could.
I don't come out of my house usually on Devil's Night.
But anyway, so it was a night of pranks and jokes and stuff.
That's what
you know,
it's supposed to be.
Pretty much in, you know, not permanent kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, the folks of Detroit, and I mean Detroit proper, we're talking anything with a, you know, zip code that goes to a Detroit.
313.
You know.
Yeah.
Area code. what happens is they took it to the nth degree, and they decided that it would be best if they just burned everything on Devil's Night. And to a certain extent, I agree with them.
Yeah,
because
I really honestly think
that when it began,
burning down abandoned buildings.
They were burning down abandoned buildings and crack houses and stuff like that. I really think they were when it began when I was a kid.
If you're gonna play a joke on a crackhead. That's the funniest it gets, right?
Oh,
there.
I know.
Like throw down like a little piece of soap.
Yeah.
Fight over it.
But it was that's hours of entertainment right there.
But they took it to that nth degree. Yeah. They did Devil's Night like to the utmost, right?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, and here's where I don't agree with it. It's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Because then you've got the public safety officials, the firemen and the police and the ambulance drivers and stuff like that. They're having to go out and do like
risk their stupid stuff.
Yeah, risk their lives because you want your local crack house and abandoned building burned down.
Maybe they just did the whole job. They set the place on fire, and then like about four of their friends got their hoses together, and then they put it out when it was done. You know, we can eliminate having the city people come in. I'd be down with that. But no, it's dangerous.
From what I understand, there's a bit of a problem in Detroit. First of all, Detroit. I don't know. Do you agree? Detroit is ugly.
Very ugly.
It has got to be one of the ugliest cities.
The red
I've
zone,
seen.
Before you get into downtown area,
right? Yeah,
like because downtown's gorgeous.
Well, downtown's starting to look a lot better now.
Yeah,
downtown's
cleaning
up
that red zone.
But the a lot of the neighborhoods. There's a lot of very nice neighborhoods. the ones that actually care about them, you know, themselves.
And you're talking about like the neighborhoods where it's house, house, field, field, house, house.
Well, the only reason the field is there is because they burned it down in previous years.
Well, there,
which now is illegal for some reason.
To give them some credit, there's actually some very beautiful buildings down in Detroit. I mean, it's a historic city.
Look, you go to Indian Village, it's absolutely fantastic. Palmer Park, they're gorgeous houses.
I mean, Wayne State when I went to school, they're starting to really expand out and clean things out.
Incredible. But there are, the vast majority of Detroit looks like, I-75 and
I-75 and Warren. That's where you get out to go on to Wayne State. That right
there. Yeah, there you
go.
You got about
a half mile commute into like the Wayne State campus from there. Ah, about a mile. And before that, it's starting to clean up though. It's rough though.
Well, what's the road that you get to before you get to Fort and I-75? You go through the little thing.
Schaefer?
No.
French.
I don't know.
Two words. Cass Corridor.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Okay.
And our friends who live in Detroit, they know what that place
that's
is.
That's what most of Detroit looks like.
Cass Corridor.
You want your windows clean? Go down there. Cass Corridor. The guys
are broken out, one of the two.
Or broken.
The dirty water and the dirty rag.
But what they do is that these neighborhoods, you know, they're caught between a rock and a hard place because you know that the people who care... Iraq.
No,
they're
caught between Iraq.
They're caught between Iraq and a hard place.
No, Iraq.
Iraq.
Get it? Iraq.
Iraq. No, I don't get it.
Rock.
Crack rock.
Oh. No, they're
I think we just lost our Detroit fan base.
There we go.
No,
that's,
it's not all.
Yeah, he tuned out. Yeah,
he tuned out. He's done.
They'll tell
but
you though.
What they do is the people in the neighborhoods that want their neighborhood cleaned up so that they can have a respectable house in a respectable city. What they do is you have to petition the city of Detroit to demolish a building.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, cart it away or whatever they do with these things. I don't know. And unfortunately, the city looks at that as a huge expense.
God forbid.
So what they do is they put it on this priority list where maybe by the year 2550, it might get demolished.
Yeah.
You never know.
The problem with
it may just fall apart.
The reason it takes so long to level a building down there is they haven't found a way to make money from doing that.
Right. Yet. That's the problem.
That's the problem. I mean, you put up a casino every other week, but... to try to like, you know, hey, look, I have a home in this neighborhood right here. I paid X amount of dollars for this, and I'm watching my property value diminish by the year.
Right.
If you would just get rid of this crap house next to me here, it's all burned out, falling apart, with bums going in and out of it, it would help us out here in the city of Detroit and make the city more attractive to move to.
However.
There's no way to make money off that.
However, the actual act of demolition causes... it costs money.
It costs them money.
So what happens is they're if you petition to get your neighborhood cleaned up the right way,
you might see it by the time you retire.
Yeah, you're just put off and put off and put off and put off, and by then you're down in Florida.
Yeah,
right. But if you take matters into your own hands, you're breaking the law and you're endangering
other
firefighters and police officers' lives. So
it's a very tough decision to make.
Yeah, it's really really difficult. Fortunately,
there are some city groups down there, like civilian groups, I should say, that they have been assembling to actually tear these houses down by hand. They're people who just live there, and they've been on the news here and there. I saw it a couple years ago, and it's been in the paper. Actually, right around this time of year, you start seeing that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of burning them down, these people actually come there with their tools and disassemble the houses. Literally disassemble them, stack the wood up, and haul away in their own trucks to a landfill or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's groups that are doing that, which I think it's a wonderful, noble thing to do. And I don't blame these people for wanting to have... What? What?
Give me the microphone.
Hand the microphone.
All right.
So I consider that to be a very noble thing for those people to do, because they're taking their own time, and they are tearing a house down is not a fun project, and mind you. I've only torn a shed down, and that hurt.
Yeah.
I hurt myself doing that.
Okay, the city of Detroit set aside a whole bunch of money, you know, a bunch of millions of dollars, to tear down the houses in Detroit, and they said that they've used up all the money. It was like $25 million, let's just say. They used up all this money. They only tore down like 20 houses.
Well, that's because
it don't cost $1.2 million to tear down a house.
Right.
Cost $1.2 million to tear down a house.
Well, that's what's the
name? Mayor Kilpatrick?
Kwame Kilpatrick.
Yeah, he needs his posse and shit.
Well, yeah, he's got to bring
cost
four.
Money.
Well, he's got to have the deli tray laid out, the
right.
donut tray over there.
The dancers.
Yeah, the dancers.
Only the blue
M&Ms. Right.
Exactly.
So,
see, and they cost.
Which is, you know, I mean, I can justify that kind of cost. I mean, it's very important to have this stuff when you're leveling a house. You have to have the deli tray laid out and the dancers.
But what's funny is one of the houses that they demolished. There was a guy who was remodeling this house. He's put like $20,000
into that. I read about it.
Like $20,000 into this house, and the city just tore his house down for no reason. There was a mistake, and they're like, "Oh well, nothing we can do about it."
Oh, that's crap.
And he's suing the city right now.
Well, yeah, I read.
Good.
I've seen that.
Well, duh.
You know what? Well, he's being exposed anyways because look at the school systems.
I have to say, politically, I don't like Kilpatrick at all.
No.
I didn't remember his name until you guys reminded me.
Don't
but
like him.
He's like the hip hop mayor of Detroit.
Yeah.
They need somebody more like
Archer.
Archer.
Because yeah. Archer, well, I used to work in Detroit.
Oh, wait a minute.
I used to work in Detroit, and I used to work with a lot of the schools. And Dennis Archer did
a lot for those
schools.
Yeah.
He was building schools. He was hiring teachers. He was doing all sorts of stuff. Comey Kilpatrick comes in. They have stopped building schools. They've stopped.
Right, that's because
stuff.
He needs to jet around on a private jet.
We can't forget about Archer though. And the great snowstorm of 1997.
Oh, we have to blame that on him. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We're not blaming that on him. Oh. What we're blaming it on is that while the rest of us were digging ourselves out of our driveways, I kid you not. His street was plowed before anyone's was done. I mean, literally, his driveway, everything was done very nice, and he came out, went to work, no problem, while the rest of us were...
Well, that was undoubtedly a private contractor, though.
That still goes on.
But, I mean, you can pay some guy to do your driveway as well. I mean, so him and his neighbors pay their snow removal service.
If I'd have read that, I wouldn't have said anything about it, though.
The thing is, what they do is...
They hired a private person.
They obviously hired a private person because the city, the streets of Detroit are not plowed by the city.
No, they're not.
They're not cleaned or taken care of or anything like that either. But if you want your neighborhood plowed, you and your... neighbors go in and hire a snowplow company, and then if they don't do it right away, then you have recourse.
Then, that's
scream
a business
up and down.
Right,
you know,
there.
you're then a customer.
I didn't
the
know
city
I didn't
though
know.
Doesn't plow their streets.
Yeah, I
they plow the main ones, but that's it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I work with a few people that live in Detroit, and they're always talking about issues and stuff they have.
Why are we talking about Detroit?
Because you...
Oh, I brought it up.
Night, but
yeah,
one,
it's your
one
fault.
Thing,
I'm
were,
sorry.
When they were, even last year and the year before, when the streets don't get plowed right away, they come into work, they're like, did you see this stuff on the news? I'm like, yeah. They're like, we're embarrassed. That's just embarrassing. And she's like, my kids got sent home the other day because they had no toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They got sent home and there was no toilet paper.
No toilet paper.
Dude, rough it up. Take a newspaper. Go in there and.
But still, that's just.
Take your homework assignment.
Yeah, that's.
And then just turn it in and say, "Hey, no toilet paper."
Went down with
sorry.
Toilet. Yep.
Here you go.
Yeah, that's just one. That's those are just some of the finer points of Detroit that we'd let everyone know about. That is Devil's Night, though. They've since, like, about 5 years ago, they've tried to don it Angel's Night to try to change the whole mentality of the night.
And
that
was Archer's
helped.
Idea.
It has helped.
And it helped incredibly.
Yeah, it did.
And they no longer burn the city down, but, you know, at the same
there's
time,
still a
the city
few
gets
things.
Uglier and uglier and uglier as time goes by because these things aren't being...
eradicated.
There's no more Darwinism of for buildings in Detroit, you know.
Granted, Detroit... It really is. I mean, it's a historic city. There's a lot that's happened in Detroit, and there are some beautiful buildings down there still. Beautiful churches, monuments upon monuments, but they're few and far between, unfortunately. It isn't like Gettysburg where you go there and it's like every other building has a plaque on it.
Yeah.
So it's not concentrated enough, really.
But that, so yeah, Devil's Night of course is coming up. But no, let's do a recap real quick of all this cool crap in October.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First of all. Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk. You can't go wrong.
Very important.
Right? We're going to be talking to ghost hunters all month.
Yeah.
Starting with, of course, Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers,
yeah.
IGT.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been on Proof Positive, which we'll be watching on Wednesday, which brings us to our next point.
Yeah.
The premiere of Proof Positive and Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Ghost Magazine's premiere issue in Ink. you know, ink on paper, is this month. That's at ghostmag.com. You go there and order that. The it's just like, this is the best month of the year.
It's fitting. It's October.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year for us to kind of like wallow in the stuff we've been working on for the last few years. And this is the time where our show and all these other groups that are out there working get the most exposure, too, because people get into the mood, so to say.
Right.
Oh, it's Halloween. I have to go out and find ghosts. So
well,
it's cool, though. It's
do you know, last month, which was September, right, we far exceeded the number of hits ever in a month before.
I don't know why.
The number, and by hits, I don't mean hits. I talk about unique visitors, because there's different ways to measure a website.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about unique visitors. So the number of unique visitors to Ghostly Talk was, like, incredibly huge, even more so than when, you know, we had, you know... I was going to say it. When we had Aaron Donahue on.
Okay.
Okay. Even more so than when we had Aaron Donahue.
Yeah.
We far exceeded those to our website.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked. I think
it's
absolutely awesome. I think it's the greatest thing because people are hearing, I guess, about Ghostly Talk. And they'll listen to what we do, and hopefully they'll enjoy some of it.
And get something out of it, too, which is the most important thing to us. People are being educated in some ways concerning all this stuff.
Including us.
Yeah, so we're very excited about that. We're very proud because we did see the numbers a few weeks ago, and we're like, what's going on here? Well, I mean, I know October's coming, but we've never been nailed this hard before where the server's like caving in left and right, and we didn't understand it for a little while. We said, well, okay, growth. Just keep going with it. So it's really, thanks for everybody that's checking it out. And I mean, we're getting a name out there that we've been out on the trips, passing stuff out, kind of just, you know, campaigning this show, trying to get more exposure. And apparently, it's working. We're really proud of that. So thank you guys.
I think it's a combination because we're also in the search engines.
Well, yeah.
If you search ghost hunters, or I don't know where we come up, but
well, if you put ghostly in a search engine, bam.
Oh, I know. Or there's also some other ones, too, but I'm not going to say what they are. They all hit your journal, Mr. Scott L.
What's that? What?
We answered the big one. The big one.
You can't say that on the air.
Why not? We're on the internet.
Tell me in my ear.
No, I know.
No, we don't say it on the air.
Yeah. The, la, 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 la.
Oh!
You
really?
Can't, you can't say that on the air.
I'm not going to say it on the air, but no. Wow, I didn't know that. You're kidding me.
You we're right there. Google. We're right on top.
That term?
That
phrase?
Right on the top of Google.
We're on the first page.
You,
if you just put that
me.
First word in.
How do we
we're right on the first page.
So we have like that whole, we got like that.
We got that market as well.
We got that,
yeah.
we got those locked. Oh,
yeah.
That's so
we
cool.
got that locked in. Yeah.
Nice guy.
You have to tell me I'm break.
Yeah.
That
was not the
I'm
purpose
with the
of
listeners.
That.
I know.
That was just trying to make a point.
I know.
In my journal.
What does it rhyme with?
Belch. That's it. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at
Walsh?
That. Just, no, no,
no,
we're not, no guessing.
No,
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 guessing,
guessing.
No guessing.
I'm
no
kidding.
Guessing.
This is bad.
No, we don't want that. That's
your journal.
Okay,
thank
then
you.
I'll fix it. I'll,
no, no, no.
I'll fix
well, you
it.
You can't be fixed now. You're indexed. So,
oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry.
Good is bad. Bad is good.
I don't know. This is bad. Might be bad.
Bad is bad.
But we get a lot of hits off that. But also, there's this new thing out.
I did link that, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There also is this new thing. It's not new anymore. I mean, it's been around for about 8 months or so. Singingfish.com.
Singingfish.com.
Singingfish.com. It's some kind of search engine for MP3s.
Okay.
Well, when I noticed how it worked, and this was about 6 months ago or so, I noticed how it worked, and what happens is it looks all over the internet for MP3s.
Okay.
And if you've got ID tags, which we don't have in a lot of our archives, right? If you've got ID tags, those ID3 and ID2 and all that stuff tags, if you've got them in your MP3 file, it will add it to its search index.
Okay.
So I went through and I did about 20 or 40 of our archives.
Okay.
And now we come up on Singing Fish when somebody searches for ghosts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is the we're getting a lot of hits from this Singing Fish, which is interesting because I had never heard of it until I saw it in our log.
I want to check it out. I don't have the link for the stats at home. I only see them right, so I'm going to have to check that out. I want to.
Oh, I'll send you the link for the
That's all I do at work anyways nowadays, yeah. Just download MP3s. I'm also a search engine for it, too.
Well, it's a search engine for MP3s, and evidently we're in there, so it's W Paranormal and you know, the different shows that have the ID tags in their MP3 files.
And what's the problem, Will?
Oh, you guys...
They're trying to guess what the word is.
Tell them the email. Scott L. at ghostlytalk.com. I'll point you to the stupid journal entry.
What happens?
What
you do with the word, Scott? What's the word?
What they're talking about is when we're on the air, this is Ghostly Talk, and when we're on the air, we are also in the chat rooms, and the chat rooms are accessible to anybody listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to www.ghostlytalk.com, which is our website, of course, and if you're a member of the site, you can get on into that Java IRC thing, or you can go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, and there's a text chat in the little gizmo control text chat, and
join
you click
the
in there. And there's actually, we've seen more people in the chat room, but there's a lot of really cool people in the chat room right now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've got the administrator lobby up top. Then we've got Devin is in the chat room, Ghost Hunter, Havoc, of course, from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Josh T. We've got Loner. Money Shots, of course, Scott K. That's who did the intro.
Who is going to be in full attention tonight because his people are... We're going to be talking to his people tonight.
Yeah, we're talking to
his folk.
He's actually only, an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours away from where IGT is based.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome. And we've got Prairie Ghost, we've got Rodent, we've got Silver Spirit and Viper Hunter in the room. And join them, because they're having a blast.
Cool.
They're having a blast in there. Ghostly Talk is live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday nights. If you're listening to this at any other time, of course, it is a replay. We're replayed on such fine stations as Pioneer, of course, KSSX, and Moist
All
FM,
Talk Radio.
And All Talk Radio. Yeah. So we're replayed throughout on many different stations, internet-only stations.
Mm-hmm.
And give them all a listen.
Check them out.
Give them all a listen. Listen to
check out their schedules. See them around there if you want to hear any.
And also see what other kind of stuff they offer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Pioneer has, Magic Mind. We've got, Pioneer has the, W Paranormal.
How can you hear the phone call coming in for that right now?
Coming in, yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hello, W Paranormal's on Pioneer as well. Magic Mind, W Paranormal, Clyde Lewis sometimes, the...
Clyde Lewis all the time.
Clyde Lewis.
All we do is archive Clyde Lewis's show.
And, of course, the exciting part is, you know, Rob McConnell in the X-Zone.
Yeah.
So, and there's some specials coming up. The Space Show is having specials. There's evidently lots and lots of stuff going on about, astronomy or whatever the Space Show is about. So Dr. Livingston is doing tons of specials. They're coming up. And things like launches of the space shuttle or launches of things. So they do these specials, and those are on Pioneer as well. So you want to, watch for those Space Show specials as well.
Okay.
So there's tons of cool stuff. Oh, Days, the hypnotist as well. So, I mean, Pioneer has lots of stuff. All Talk has tons of other stuff. They're not completely paranormal, but they've got some really cool stuff.
Lots to listen to.
Yeah.
There's just too much on there. Why don't we take a quick break, though?
Yeah, we got to see when Sean's calling in. Hopefully he'll call in shortly. If not, it'll be just more of the same from Ghostly Talk. We'll see you on the
more
other
Detroit
side.
Bashing. Yeah, great. More
Detroit bashing here on Ghostly Talk.
I'm never going to a Lions game ever again.
Happy October, everyone. Ghost Hunting Month is coming up right after this break.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe
It's that late night booty call.
Drunken dialing.
Drunken dialing.
Oh.
Oh. In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
pussy. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, Dummy.
So happy in all these weeks that I've not been doing any audio that you've kept the Motorhead bumpers.
Well, I haven't changed a thing. I try not to.
I'm so happy now that I have into an audio that you've kept the Motorhead bumpers.
You guys all missed it because this is a radio show.
Yeah.
But Scott L, first he was looking at me while he was saying it, and then after I said it's not me, he turned and looked at Will and said the same thing.
Thank you, Will. Thank you. We appreciate it. I mean, I appreciate it. Yeah, because, you know. Honey.
Well, anyway, you guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I am Karma.
And, of course, Will's manning the board and the chat rooms. If you go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net, click on chat, text chat, or whatever it is, get in the chat room. They're all laughing and having just a blast because this is the beginning of Ghostly Talk's Ghost Hunting Month.
Yeah.
We're talking to all ghost hunters all on all our live programs.
Yeah.
All of our Sunday. Yeah. Sunday programs, and we're talking to ghost hunters. What great timing, since after all, this is also the premiere of Ghost Magazine Month, the premiere of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, the premiere of Proof Positive on Sci-Fi. So all these things are premiering, so this is our first Ghost Hunting Month where we talk to ghost hunters from around the country.
Yeah.
We're based in the U.S., although we've got listeners from all over the world. We're based in the U.S., so we've contacted some United States ghost hunting groups and asked them to be on the show, and some of them said yeah. So cool. And
there's another premiere we haven't mentioned, though, yet.
There is another premiere coming up this month.
Yeah, actually, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, Will, it's October 16th. Will, slap me in the face. October 16th. There's a new show coming out, a new internet-based internet paranormal talk show coming out.
Yeah.
It's called Ghostish Files. And it's the actual web address, you want to check it out tonight, is... I can't see that far, Will.
It's www.ghostishfiles.net.
Is it TC?
TC.
Yeah, so www.ghostishfiles.net.tc.
Yeah.
And check that out. It's actually a listener of this show who decided, his name's Devin, decided to start up his own show now, which is what we promote on this show. Start up your own thing. Do your own thing. And he's going out and doing it now.
Yep.
So with a bit of our assistance, we've been helping him out. I know I've been talking to him all week here and there, just tell him what he needs to do, get him pointers on this stuff to get this thing up and running. So October 16th, go to the site. I don't know exactly when he's going to broadcast, but all the info is on there. Check this kid's show out. It's going to be really great. I know it is.
Right. It's going to be awesome. He's a young listener,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool because look what the internet lets you do.
Exactly.
It doesn't discriminate on your age.
How young
anything.
Are we talking?
He's 14,
35,
40.
Wow.
14.
That's really cool.
So he's a young listener. He's going to be now a young show host.
He has a co-host, too.
Which is awesome. And he does. He's got a co-host as well. So
I'm
looking forward to that. So that's yet another premiere this month.
Yeah, all kinds
of things. So October is exciting, and we're getting it going. We're getting October going.
Yeah.
We're getting Ghost Hunting Month going with, of course, some of our favorite people on the planet.
Yeah.
And that's the Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Yeah.
What we have is we've got Sean Burris.
Mm-hmm.
He is the training director of Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Ghost Trackers is based, of course, in Indiana, where we were and didn't
go visit.
Not even 2 months ago, and we didn't visit them or anything.
No.
Because we, didn't know him at the time. So, but now...
he's sipping down Coronas right now, just going, okay, come on. Come on.
And so we're very, very happy to start Ghost Hunting Month off with Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers. Welcome to Ghostly Talk, Sean.
Guys, thank you so much for having us on behalf of Indiana Ghost Trackers. Thank you so much.
Well, we are...
Great program. You guys, you and Scott L. and everybody there on the GT staff, you guys do so much for the paranormal community, man, and I just want to thank you guys. There needs to be 1,000 more like you, I tell you.
And they're starting up. I mean, look, Devin's starting Ghostish Files this month is the premiere. And,
absolutely. You tell him if he needs anybody to give me a call because I'll help you guys out in any way on promotions or whatever. So
awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You got you covered, Neil Hoosier State, fellas.
Well, that's the thing. We were just to Indiana, and I don't know if you heard the show, but we actually got EVP on the Edna C. Collins Bridge. Have you been there to the Edna C. Collins Bridge?
Of course, brother. I live in Crawford, Indiana. It's right down the road from Greencastle. I just want to say to Scott L., I listened to that Terre Haute trip archive, right?
Because
I went to study up and see what your guys' thoughts were when you came down here in Indy, and it sounded like you guys stayed in the ghetto.
pretty much, man.
Are they going to call me back?
It was a rough weekend.
I was like, they think I'm going to carjack them or something.
It was quite a trip.
It's really not that bad. A lot of Terre Haute's partied because it's a college town, ISU's out there, Indiana State University.
Yep, mm-hmm.
And, you know, they rent out those hotel rooms, man. Like you said, I think Scott L. said you walked in the room and it felt like it was 180.
Yep.
It sure was. It felt like it was occupied like 15 minutes before that.
They throw a beer bath and then they run out, you know.
that's what happened.
Well, and, I give
it could have been me. I don't know. I don't know what
room it was. I give the Indiana State University students a lot of credit because as we were driving, when we left the IHOP, like the day we were going out to do all our investigations, we missed the first row we needed to get on, so we had to turn around. And
right.
I'm thinking that we did miss that first row because there was a car wash going on, right? And there was
I didn't miss a road going back, Scott L., to Edna College. You were Superman because I couldn't find that place, and I live here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm talking about just trying to get on the main road to get into Brazil. We were like a half an hour. What I was saying is that right next to the university, there was a car wash going on, and there was just these beautifully
scantily clad
blonde girls with bikinis on,
sure,
you know, going car wash. And I'm like, I'll throw them $5. Let's just do a car wash. Nobody wanted to stop.
You go up and say, hey, I'm Scott L. from Ghostly Tone.
You're going, hey, who the hell are you?
That's right. I can say, hey, I'm a rock star, too. They wouldn't know. Say, I'm from Michigan, you know.
Well, and I just say I'm from Detroit, and they're like, oh, you're from Detroit? So,
you have a
didn't Michigan Wolverines just whoop on the IU Hoosiers this weekend?
Yeah.
Probably.
Isn't that wild?
That's okay.
We won't hold
the Notre Dame put it over on Michigan and Michigan State, so I'm okay.
Yeah. That's what usually happens, I believe. So.
Yeah, normally.
Yeah, I'm a big-time football fan, but most importantly, I'm the big-time ghost hunter, man. That's what I do. I love it. It's in my blood. You guys know it's like a healthy addiction.
Yeah. Speaking of which, tell us about IGT. And what you guys like do and what some highlights of your organization and
absolutely
things like that.
Doug, let me go ahead and get out the website because I always forget it. It's www.indianaghosts.org. And you guys go right there and it'll tell you all about IGT and how to join and stuff and all our adventures we've been on. And Mike McDowell, he is the president of the Indiana Ghost Trackers. He actually founded it back in 2000. He was a ghost hunter way before then, but he decided to get a bunch of people together with the same kind of interest. And I tell you what, guys, since 2000, this man, with the help of all his officers and stuff, we've started chapters all over the state of Indiana. I mean, I'm starting one myself in Vincennes when I get back home next week. And we're going to have our inaugural kickoff the middle of October. So, yeah, we just about got the entire state covered. So we're really proud of that. And we never thought so many people would come forward, but they have. I mean, so many people are starting to question, you know, just what happens to us when we die.
Yeah, and that's going on everywhere, too. I mean, not just in Indiana. It's happening everywhere. We're seeing that all over the country, where we live here in Detroit. I mean, wherever we go out, people seem to be just like, you know, jumping up and down, going, okay, I need to know more about this. You guys know more about this. Tell me about it. And it seems,
you know, me, my wife, and my son, we got here yesterday, kind of late. We went to this place called Gators. And it's after, of course, the Florida Gators. I guess the guy was an old alumni or something. And we went in there, and we sat down to eat, and they actually had a proof positive sign and Ghost Hunter sign up on the wall. So it was pretty cool. It's talking about the premiere and everything. So I guess they have some kind of deal with the Sci-Fi Channel in there or their cable network channels. So it's good. Advertisements all the way down here in Florida.
Hey, speaking of proof positive, IGT did some work with that show, didn't they?
Of course we did. It was a huge honor for us. I got the call from Mike McDowell. I was supposed to do a TV interview at the time, and he called me, and he said, well, I'm going to New Orleans, Sean. And I said, okay, rub it in some more. And he said, well, I can't do this thing. And I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a press release kind of deal. Oh, who do you want me to talk to? And he said, well, Cosgrove and Muir Productions called, and they want to film a documentary on the Willard Library. Now, for those of you who don't know about the Willard Library, that is one of our gyms out in Indiana. That's, of course, the ghost of the Gray Lady of Willard Library.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cold, dark night back in the 1940s, I believe. Don't hold me to the dates. But there was a janitor downstairs, and he was changing the coal out in the furnace. And he was one of the first eyewitnesses of this lady. He just kind of floated through the basement area and scared the poop out of him. You know, he went off running down the street. So ever since then, they started seeing more and more of this lady, and they think it's the daughter of the owner. Mr. Willard, that usually that owned the library, well, he had passed away, and they found out that he left the library to the state of Indiana, or the city of Evansville, I'm sorry, instead of to her. And she got really mad, and I guess she fought it until she was dead, trying to get ownership of that library. And they say she still comes back and haunts the place. So
it sounds like she got it at last. She gives it more hours
of the
day.
That might be. We went out there and spent the night with her and whoever else may be there, but I don't want to ruin the Sci-Fi Channel deal. To say the least, guys, it was interesting. I wish you guys could have been there. You know, it's kind of hard to do our jobs with booms in your face and cameras, though, you know?
Is it?
And that's what it was like. That's what was going on, though?
Yeah, you guys know. They get the boom over your face, and the guy with a little China lantern, he's holding it down for a good light, you know, and they're saying, you know, shine your flashlight here, do this, do that. And I say, well, fellas, I got to do EVP, and you can't be whispering in the background while I'm doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I can imagine that. I was curious about that, is to see.
I wondered, you know, how they did the actual filming part of it.
You guys didn't do, like,
so.
You know, we were making fun of that last week on the show. They didn't, like, make you do the real-world stuff where they took you off, like, by yourself and made you talk shit about each other and stuff like that.
I'm sure you guys will be laughing at me, believe me. When you see it premiere, you know, I'm not a movie star, man. I'm not Tom Cruise. I'm a ghost hunter. I'm the guy in the trenches getting dirty and having fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you go there all of a sudden, you want to represent all the ghost trackers, Scott L., Dougie, everybody all across the world that does this. You want to represent the best you can. So here I am acting all professional, you know, and stuff. And I guess, you know, we're really professional when it comes to ghost time, but you can know how it is, guys. You try to keep it fun. And when you're videotaping, you can't really keep it fun.
No.
You know?
Well,
strictly business. What are you doing? Why are you doing it?
Uh-huh.
How are you doing that? And they got a camera in your face, so you're 10 times more nervous. So,
what if I messed something up?
It was a blast, and I definitely tell all your listeners, man, you got to watch Proof Positive. I think it's going to premiere November 10th, our episode. It's on their website.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to www.sci-fi.com, it has a listing. You can click on Proof Positive. It has a listing all the episodes.
Well, you're also cross-linked on the Ghost Hunters. You know, that's the one that follows Proof Positive.
Absolutely.
And
these guys are going to do a great job.
Proof Positive is cross-linked on the Ghost Hunters homepage as well.
Now, that's
so,
the guys from Caps, right?
Yep. The Atlantic Paranormal.
They got a great deal with that show, man. I don't know where I was sleeping at, but I missed out on that one.
They've been all over the place already. And last time I talked to Jason, they had done 7 out of 10. And then we talked to that guy in Hollywood, and he says it was picked up for another season.
Yeah.
I think it's the people that made Orange County Choppers produce this, or American Chopper.
Right.
American
they
Chopper.
Did American Chopper, and now they're doing Ghost Hunters.
That isn't the show with that guy with the big old mustache, is it?
I think it is.
Flop there. Oh, hey, did you guys ever hear about, and you're going to laugh if you remember this guy, Gary Spivey, world-renowned psychic Gary Spivey.
Yep.
I know the name.
There's a white wig.
He looks
like an afro. He's a great guy. He is the best, and I had the opportunity to go out with him and a local radio station last October, and we spent the night at some of Indy's most haunted locations, me and myself and Indiana Ghost Trackers with him, and that guy is just great. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever get a chance to work with him. You need to, because he's down to earth. He'll drink bourbon with the best of them, but, buddy, he's right to it. When it comes to be psychic, he's right there.
Awesome.
And I know he drunk the bourbon after he made his prediction.
Yeah, I think even I could predict after a couple bourbons, but
yeah, see all kinds of little great guys.
But wow, so you guys have been like absolutely doing insane stuff. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
The original reason we went to Indiana was we were going to check out Moody's Light. Now,
because
you've heard the show, okay,
Clear, right?
You already know that, yeah, in Rensselaer, you know we didn't actually get there.
Right.
Because that's how it is. We go to do this one thing, and then, like, 87 other things pulls in 87 other directions.
Yeah.
So we ended up in Terre Haute, nowhere near Rensselaer.
Right.
And, but we were going to do Moody's Light. Did you ever do Moody's Light and see it?
You know, we did investigate that, and I hate to say we broke the case on that one. We found proof positive that it is not a ghostly apparition, that it is, in fact, far-off cars from an interstate. And the way the gully is, it reflects off of the signs that's back there. They got 4 or 5 stop signs.
Right.
That makes the illusion that there's this ball of light that looks like it's growing larger and larger and larger. Now, that's not to say that there isn't something out there. I always stay open-minded. Now, I do say I have hours of videotape out there where it looks like that's the ghost light, and after I walked out there, I found out it was car lights.
Oh, man, that's depressing.
Yeah, but I got to tell you guys what. You know, Doug, I've sent you a million emails. You probably think I'm a crazy guy. I invited you and Scott L. and the whole staff out to my house. I got a two-story house, man. We just bought in Danville, Indiana. And you guys are more than welcome. Stay free of charge. Come out to our banquet. I think it's November 9th or 10th. I'll get back to you on the day. But you guys stay with me free of charge. I will set up a good tour for you in Terre Haute. I will take you to places.
Wow, really?
Want Ghost? I'll put you in with Ghost.
Awesome.
The Terre Haute Brewing Company, man. This will be one of the most active places I've ever been to in my life.
The Terre Haute Brewing Company.
You guys there, and we can just spend the night. So.
Well, one way or the other, we're going to have a good time, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hey.
Brewing Company.
Yeah, you've stayed a brewing company. You're set. Yeah.
It's the best beer, too. It's called Champagne Velvet. It's Indiana's oldest beer and only beer that they brewed here in Indiana, and it is delicious.
Wow.
Oh, man, I'm at the break to
go. We got a lot in common with the Ghost, actually. The old man used to like beer himself, so...
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Well, we might have to take you up on that, Sean. We might just have to. We might have to shoot out there.
Are, do you think you're doing a gig that night?
If there's something like this going on, I'm going to cancel it. This sounds very cool.
Guys, anytime, anytime. I mean, anytime. Come on down to the house, man. Just stay out there for a while. Don't have to pay to stay. And it'd be my honor, man. Take you guys out and come to the banquet. You could be my guest.
Cool.
Your honorary guest. You could even do a show live if you want to from the. Banquet. That's just time for the Indiana Ghost Trackers and whoever else wants to come to get together. And we kind of go over our EVPs and what great stuff we did this year.
So there's going to be ghost hunters of the Indiana Ghost Trackers from all over the state of Indiana at this banquet coming up. And do you guys?
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, the biggest and brightest are going to be there, which is all the Indiana Ghost Trackers. Of course, I think anybody from the two people groups to the 4,000 member groups, I think everybody is so important when doing this because they represent us all. I mean, if there's one guy on his own going to the cemetery, doing EVP, going through doing the homework, you know, going down the trenches, being bored, sitting there for hours watching the paint dry to get one little orb or get a great EVP, they all deserve respect. And I tell you what, if they get a national TV crew on them one day, one little word can make or break how we look to the public.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And oh, yeah.
So,
we know that all too well.
Yeah, I think everything's... I think we're great. I think all of us are great because, man, you guys have said on a prior show how boring this can be sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be a Marion County Sheriff's Deputy here in Indiana, and I first joined because, you know, when I was going to college, man, I was watching Cops. I was like, oh, man, that's, you know, that's bad. You get to chase down the bad guy. Let me tell you how boring being a cop is. I spent more time, you know, I used to not know how to use the computer, and as Doug will tell you now, I really don't now.
Yeah.
I can send pictures and emails, but I found out how to use the computer sitting in my car using the mobile data unit, which is like a little laptop. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time emailing other coppers sitting there just talking back and forth. What are you doing? Nothing. Why are you doing nothing? So.
But, man, I don't know. If all I had to do was, like, sit there in the car and stuff you know, wait for something to happen, I think I'd be driving around looking for haunted spots, especially...
Oh, you know you would.
Especially in Indiana.
Blood, man, once it gets in your blood. See, we're going to be 95 years old, Doug. We're going to be the sickos out there.
But in Indiana...
EMF meter going, I think I've seen something. It's past 8 o'clock.
You're like, that's your cataract.
Must be your blood sugar.
What about Hell's Gates? There's
Hell's
supposed
Gate.
To be
seven or nine
Hell's Gates.
That's a nice little area. Used to be a train car ran through there, of course, and the story goes there was a big accident. Two trains collided, killed hundreds of people. And if you go out there late at night, you can still see the lost souls of those people walking the train trestles through there. Now, when you guys go out to Hell Gates, when I take you or whenever you guys want to go, but when you were out there, have you been out there before?
We went out. We found how many bridges are there exactly?
Are there seven or nine?
I think there's like a six. Six, and they say if you get them all, like an aerial picture, it's like a pentagram.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, so it's sort of getting the name Hell's Gate, and if you guys go out there, you've seen all the graffiti on the walls.
Oh,
and stuff,
God.
Local teenage hangout.
Well, here's
I've got some great EVP out there.
Well, the creepiest thing about that bridge, because we found one of them, and we found it completely by chance.
Right.
We were lost. I mean, we were literally lost with no gas in the truck.
Don't do that on the back road.
I was scared. We were scared. I will not lie. We were scared. We were getting nervous, right? And we were just like, okay, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to turn this way. And we just
We came around a corner, and there it was, like this huge tunnel-type bridge thing with graffiti. And it did not fit at all into the scenery whatsoever. Because the rest of it's like farm fields and houses and whatnot. And then there's...
I'll tell you what, those big 4x4 rusted-out Ford trucks that come swinging through there at 80 miles an hour, they won't stop for a ghost hunter.
No, yeah, we found that out too.
Yeah, hard, with the Confederate flag flapping in the back.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Those are them.
We saw, we met a few of those fine gentlemen too. But
Yeah, they're great.
Well, we found it just by chance. We found one of them, the only one of them. And we stopped, of course, and got... I mean, it is an eerie place.
It is.
And I don't...
Very spooky.
I don't say that in all seriousness very much at all. But this was a... I mean, to the point where I'm like, guys, I don't like this place. And we walked... Bonnie, the only brave one of all of us, actually got out. Because when you're going through this thing, it's all puddles and stuff. And we didn't know how deep these puddles were.
Did you see the board? Did they have the boards laid down for you could roll over them?
No, there's nothing
one,
in there.
Yeah, this one was just... We were just wondering if...
Yeah, so Bonnie was kind of like walking through them, seeing how deep they were. In front of the truck as we drove through, and then we got out and we got to the other side and actually got to go through the whole bridge as we walked and see all the fun graffiti in there.
Well, man, I need to recruit Bonnie. I need somebody like that. And if I don't hear a big kerplunk and hear bubbles, you know, I can say, hey, it's clear, guys. Let's go.
Well, the legend we heard about, one part of this legend.
If you go through all of the... I thought there were 7 or 9, but there could be 6. If you go through all of them, when you get to the last, you have to do it all in one night. And when you get to, when you finally go through the last one, you will be approached by a demon who will try, who will test you, and if you fail the test, your soul is taken to hell.
That's one of the legends. There's another one too.
What's the other one?
There's, like Scott L said, there's like 10.
You know, there's the other one that I remember vividly is that if you actually see of all the spray painted graffiti on the bridges, if you actually see your name graffitied on the bridge, you're going to
die
or something.
Night
you're going to die or
yeah.
something like that. Which was not hysterical for Will, but it was hysterical for us. We're walking down
the wall.
It's on the website. There. It's huge, too. It's like a 5x5 mural of Will. It's huge, right?
Wow. Will, are you okay tonight, bud?
Yeah, I'm good.
He's all right, yeah. So far, so good. We're keeping a close eye on him, but...
Now, you guys, man, I'll tell you what. When you come down, I will have it laid out for you, man. We can go to 100 Step. You guys went to 100 Step, right?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Not the 100 Step in Bloomington, but the actual 100 Step where there's supposed to be 100 steps.
Yeah,
well, there's
you
only
never get the same count.
Yeah, that's the one we went to.
But there's not 100. There's like 56 or in that. In
depending
that
on how long your legs are, I think it's a different number.
Now, I bet what you guys didn't know that's not even written about is that in the very back, do you remember those fenced-in tombstones? There's about 6
yep.
of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was, and this is true, that was a family of practicing witches and warlocks, I guess. They were in the occult back in the late 1800s.
Okay.
Buried them back there, and apparently the story goes that they had several different ceremonies at night and, you know, salt dropping, whatever they do to keep the bad spirits in those fences. That's why the fence is up, because it's not just a family plot. They wanted to keep the bad mojo in, so to speak.
Oh, wow. They actually...
And I got to tell you, I've got so many EVP back there by the fence. It's amazing.
Well, the thing with 100 Steps, and I was actually discussing this with somebody at a party last night. We were talking about Indiana and 100 Steps Cemetery. And the one thing I found, like, you know, the legend, and correct me, anybody, if I'm incorrect on this, is you're supposed to walk up the steps. You count the steps as you walk up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You come to the top, and you're supposed to meet the original caretaker of the cemetery.
Right.
And he's supposed to show you some gruesome depiction of how you're going to die.
Well, he sends you a vision of your death, yeah.
Okay. Now, then you go, wow, that sucks. And then you turn around, and you're supposed to walk back down. Now, you count on your way back down again.
Right.
And if you count the same number, it's true? Or?
If you count the same number, it was a... It was a true depiction.
If you count a different number,
it was a false depiction.
Now, if you try to cheat it, obviously, you get pushed down. If you like go down the sides of the steps, not down the steps themselves,
right?
You get pushed down.
Physically pushed down. And you'll have a mark on your body where the phantom hand pushed you.
Now, not to take any credit away from this cemetery, because it was really a very amazing place to go. Very small, but the steps are... It's a very long walk up the steps.
Yes,
how did they carry the coffins up, Scott L? That's what I want to know.
Maybe, well, let's see. They probably a winch and pulley system.
No, they used
a big strong rope.
Didn't like Attila the Hunter, whatever, use elephants to go across mountains? Maybe they take elephants up.
Maybe they brought they shipped elephants.
They didn't think that through, man. Let's put this cemetery on top of this hill with 100 steps to get to it.
Well, my gripe is the
I don't want to be the pallbearer. No.
I would just.
That's why it's a small cemetery. They couldn't get anybody to go there.
Yeah, by the time they got to the top, they're like, "That's it."
My gripe is the 100 steps, though, because I mean, like we said on our show, the special we did about Indiana, about that cemetery too, was that we all got different numbers going up, and it was well below. The numbers were all different. Obviously, it was a smaller amount of numbers for Will because he has legs like tree trunks, and we're all shorter, right?
Right.
Bonnie is like a munchkin, so she kind of like 150 steps or something like that. I'm kidding.
I'm about 5'11", and I weigh about 240.
Okay.
So I'm a big stocky boy, and I tell you, about halfway up those stairs,
I got
800 of them. So I just stopped and ran up the rest of the way because I wasn't going to sit there and count the stairs. And you guys know, for each one of those stairs, they're so badly deteriorated, you wouldn't know if there was 1,000
There you go. That's my point right there is that, I mean, over time, obviously, decay, there could be, I mean, it would not surprise me if they actually dug up the ground. If, like, you came to the top of that hill and started digging, you'd find more steps.
Yeah.
Because I think they've been buried over time.
Overgrown, yeah.
Where else did you guys go? Did you go anywhere in Terre Haute?
No, but we did go to Poland, and we saw the Demon Boy's grave.
Yeah, the Demon Boy.
And even Scott K, he's in the chat room right now, and he's all like, oh, ask about the Demon Boy. There's this headstone with this picture on it of this boy who looks like he has horns.
I got that on your website, the little red jacket. I see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we found two of them, actually.
There's two with pictures, but only one with a demon boy looking guy.
Yeah, the kid, I mean, he looked really
That was sort of an unfortunate choice of photo.
If you guys come spend it out of my house, you'll see my 3-year-old. He also looks like a demon.
Oh, no.
All right. He doesn't look like a demon. He looks like an angel. He acts like a demon, yeah.
Ah.
He tried to, we went out on the beach this morning to walk, and he made sure that we stepped on every jellyfish out there.
But
Daddy didn't, so... Yeah.
You guys.
It's very fun to do. I'm speaking from experience.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And because I want everybody to hear this break. And the reason I want people to hear this break is because this fellow created this CD. And let me try and find it. Right here. Yeah. This fellow creates this CD called Monster University.
Mm-hmm.
Monster University, the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring the Mike Hoffman Orchestra. So it was Mike Hoffman. However, I think I think he did the entire CD. What you should do is definitely listen to this song. It's funny. It's done in the, you know, in the tradition of Monster Mash, you know, that kind of thing. Listen to this song. Determine if you like it. If you like it, go to his website, which is MikeHoffman.com. MikeHoffman.com.
Mm-hmm.
And order the CD, because this CD is just absolutely insane. It's this guy did all the artwork. He did all the playing, all the music, all the stuff. Listen to this song. I hope you enjoy it. It's a great way to start off our ghost hunting month with Dry Drac by Mike Hoffman of Monster University. So check it out, you guys. And we'll be back on the other side of this break with more with Sean Burris of Indiana Ghost Trackers.
We'll be right back.